Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Luke Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
not. Swangled in Fort
Lauderdale. I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. It means a lot to us. It helps the show to grow. If you want to rate the show and subscribe to it as an audio podcast, please do. It's free, for God's sake. All you have to do is listen to me talk about a couple ads in the beginning, but I promise you, I always have sponsors that make sense for this show. We appreciate them. Speaking of that, thank you to our newest sponsor, Solar Power Lifestyle. Tell you what, the rate things are going with regard to energy, you might want to have a backup plan. You most definitely do want to. There's a solar option. You can get it, a big version for your house, for if you've got a cabin or someplace that's off the grid, if you want to do that. They have full solar panel packages for homes. You can get financing. It's available for that. But I think most people really want to get maybe a smaller portable device, couple hundred bucks, keep them, keep their phones charged, their computers going in the event of some sort of blackout. Obviously, you're not going to live the rest of your life off of one of these things, but it's really good to have in case of an emergency. So I would suggest you check it out. SolarPowerLifestyle.com is the website. It's a small business. It's a family-run business. They listen to the show. We appreciate that. It's veteran-owned, all those good things. They have free shipping on all their products. They have a price match guarantee. So if you buy something from them and you find it cheaper somewhere else, just let them know and they'll match the price. They have financing available. When you spend $100, they'll donate $10 to your charity of choice. They've got all the big brands, EcoFlow and Jackery and all of that stuff. So I'll tell you what, if you're just interested, curious, go to their website, solarpowerlifestyle.com. The link is in the show notes. You can check it out and see if it's right for you. If you're interested, use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself a couple extra bucks. And also, thanks to our sponsor, My Patriot Supply. I'll tell you, when you start off talking about food preparation, you sound like an unhinged prepper, right? And the more you start to open your eyes and see what's going on around you in this world, the more you realize, it probably isn't a bad idea to have some of this storable food somewhere. Considering it lasts 25 years, it's not like it's going to go bad anytime soon. And, if the supply chain doesn't get you, if the hurricanes don't get you, if the forced Build Back Better plan doesn't get you, maybe, at least you've got food. What's the worst that can happen? You've got extra storable food. I'll tell you what, right now is a good time to pull the trigger on this because they are having a sale on their 3-month supply of emergency food. You're going to get 6 buckets 120 pounds, it works out to something like $7 a day, and that'll feed a family of four. That's breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks too. They have good stuff. So I'll tell you what, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and pull the trigger right now, get this stuff done, taken care of in about 10 minutes, and then you'll have yourself sorted out. If you've already done this, hopefully you have, hopefully I'm preaching to the choir here, but if you've already done it, but you want to maybe take care of somebody in your life, your family member lives out of state and you don't want to put the burden on them, pick it up for them. Be nice. Send it to them. You can do that. Just go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and get yourself sorted out. I preach preparedness, you know, and so I've got my food stored away somewhere like a lunatic, right? Let's see. So where do we even go, right? We've got all kinds of things happening around this world. It's hard to know where to start, but I'll tell you what I picked for the topic today. I think you'll appreciate this is, and it came from, I got to be honest, it came from me traveling around. Oh, thank you to everybody that wished me a happy 50th birthday. I appreciate that. I don't feel 50. I always thought 50 was like super old. I feel great. Maybe it's because I try to take care of myself as best I can, but I feel great. Thank you all. I took a little vacation, went to Hawaii. It was nice. I love it. But when you're traveling, you get a chance to really see what's going on out there. And, you know, I got some bad news for you. There's a lot of dum-dums out there. I know this is maybe not nice, but, boy, I saw some things. I saw a guy with a mask extender. It was like an accessory that went across the top of his head, and it was like multicolored and like he'd like bedazzled it or something. And it kind of like that connected his mask connected onto that. So his mask didn't have to go behind the back of his ears. Cause apparently that was a bridge too far for this guy. He wanted comfort with his disposable paper mask that isn't stopping anything. I just saw over and over again that we're really surrounded by morons. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but it was an eye-opening experience to see this. And a lot of people are just broken, man. Their brains just are never going to get over what COVID did to them, what the media did to the fear campaign. It shattered them. You know, I saw people with little kids that are all masked up and they're Purelling themselves still. And it's like, they're getting on an airplane and like nobody else has masks on. And like, there's a few stragglers that do. And I judged them, you know, as you should, you know, I judged them right away and just go, all right, this person is not going to want to sit anywhere near me. I don't want to sit next to them. I don't want any of their hypochondria rubbing off on me. And, so I wanted to sort of talk about that, like not so much what I saw, but on this trip specifically, but just in general, it's a dumbing down of society. Really, it is. It's hard to deny. It's undeniable. And you turn on your television or you go on online and you read these stories, or if you're on social media, it's like 24/7 pumping you with examples of this. And it's not your imagination. People are getting dumber these days. I went ahead and looked at it, like the science behind it. And we're going to get to that towards the tail end of the show. What's actually happening with IQ rates. It's not your imagination. You're not imagining this. It's a measurable thing. And we have IQ rates dropping all around the globe. And at the rate we're going, I mean, listen, you're going to need every IQ point you can get. You're not really, probably it's not, we don't need to be giving away IQ points. Unfortunately, well, we seem to be losing them rapidly. And, you know, in COVID, what COVID did too, the restrictions and the masking of children, really young kids, and that interpersonal communication that they were missing, and their ability to read facial features and all the nonverbal communication cues, a lot of that was decimated by the mask wearing. Then of course you add the hypochondria onto that, and you've got a lot of people that are just kind of scrambled. Their brains are producing cortisol, which is putting them in like a fight or flight sort of mode, which is really damaging to the brain, especially long term. So it's not just your imagination that there's a bunch of dummies around there. No, it's measurable. And on top of that, it's a trend. It's a worldwide trend. So we're going to get into some of it. I mean, we're going to have some fun picking on the dummies, because, look, a lot of this stuff is preventable. You choose to be dumb. In a world of where you've got a smartphone more than likely in your pocket and all the information at your fingertips, being dumb is a choice at this point. And unfortunately, what we're seeing in America is like a culture of stupidity, proud of their ignorance. You remember during COVID, you have the people, I don't care what's in it. Talking about the vaccine, I don't care what's in it. The lady that was up there in front of everybody and with the cheering people behind her, and there was a crowd, and she says, I don't want to know what's in it. I don't care what's in it. Just inject it into me. That's what I want. I don't want to know how it works. And you're just like, I'm looking around going, boy, you're the dumbest person in the world. I've been looking for you everywhere. I finally found you. You're right here on TV, the dumbest person in the world. It's you. Congratulations. You win. The fact that this is the pride in your ignorance, your stupidity, as if that's something, some virtue, some accomplishment to be trumpeted to everyone. Look how dumb I am. I'm so dumb. I refuse to do any research. How dare you? I'm not going to, because research is racist, of course. I mean, it is, it isn't, but it, I'm sure it will be. Examining the ins and outs of the vaccine and how it works and everything, definitely super racist. I would imagine somebody on CNN or MSNBC has said that. I don't really watch anymore except just to mock them. But if you do turn on the television, you've noticed it, right? Television shows here in America, we are obsessed with the dumbest shows in the world. There is, God, after one of the episodes I did a couple of weeks ago, the FBI, the domestic terrorist one, talking about the FBI. For those of you that don't live in America, I'll just have you know that on CBS, there is a show called FBI. And then there's a bunch of spinoffs of FBI. It's like FBI Hawaii, it's like regional FBI New Orleans, it's like CSI, CSI would pick these different places and everything. It's like, we're doing shows about the FBI as if that's something to aspire to be. Like, these are domestic terrorists. And, but in America, we're so conditioned to be like, fuck yeah, man, I want to watch a show about the FBI. FBI gets in. If they really wanted to get some good ratings, they'd hire me as a writer for the FBI shows, because they'd go a totally different direction. In this episode of FBI on CBS, tune in and watch how the FBI conducts a false flag and then takes down a high-rise building and blames it on domestic terrorists and kills a bunch of kids in the process. Oh, wait, am I stealing the Oklahoma City script? Sorry. I would be fired, obviously, immediately for my, for my takes on what it is, but there's multiple television shows about this in America where you can like tune in and watch the FBI solve the case. It's wild to me, but so the dramas are dumb because the TV's dumb. But have you noticed the sitcoms, the situation comedies in America here? How do you know when a comedy is not really funny? First of all, if it's on NBC, it's not funny. If it's on any of the major cable channels, probably not funny. But beyond that, how do you know? A show isn't funny when they have to add a laugh track to tell you where to laugh. And that's kind of where we are in America. It's idiocracy, you know, where everyone's just kind of dumbed down, and we have President Mountain Dew Camacho out there when he's not, you know, body slamming people. Our current president is just shitting his pants with the Pope, which I guess is kind of mild compared to where things could go. But they put laugh tracks on this. This is idiocracy come to life, right? So in America, we're so confused about what's funny and what isn't funny that the television has to tell us when it's funny, you know, because otherwise we wouldn't know to laugh at it. We wouldn't get the joke. And when you watch TV sitcoms, there's like a rhythm to it. You know, there's a flow. And it's, you know, boom, boom, boom. And like the snappy dialogue back and forth. But it follows a very predictable pattern. You know, there's not much creativity to it. You know, it's this guy says this, and then this guy says that, and then the snappy comeback and the snappy comeback, and then one last zinger at the end. Ha ha ha. And then they pipe in the laugh track and then they go to commercial. And it's like, if your show is supposed to be a comedy, but you have to tell people where the funny parts are, I got news for you. It's not a comedy. Okay. But that's television in America, dumbed down so that the lowest common denominator can follow along with the plot. You know, if you're having a hard time figuring out the plot of these sitcoms, don't worry, because the laugh track will give you the instructions. It'll be like somebody nudging you, like elbowing you, going, "Hey man, you forgot to laugh at that part. That part was funny." And you're like, "Oh, okay, great, yeah." But it's not limited to television shows. Obviously, have you been to the movies lately? I thought I saw you at the Bros premiere. You looked familiar to me. Oh my goodness. When you take an agenda and you try to cram it down people's throats, like they did with Bros. Are you familiar with this movie? This movie is extra dumb looking. I didn't go see it. You know why I didn't go see it? Because I'm not interested in watching a gay rom-com, right? Romantic comedy, gay movie. My mom actually told me, she said, "Oh my God, we went and saw Bros." I was like, "Why? Were you like held hostage?" And she's like, "No, I went with a friend and we were going to the movies, and that was the movie that was playing at the time. So we saw it." And I go, "How was it?" She said, "It was awful. It was really weird and just exceptionally gay on top of that." I was like, yeah, did you know the premise of this? But of course, in typical Hollywood fashion, right, they cram that down your throat because they're convinced, living in the LA and New York bubbles, that everybody wants this. Nobody wants this. Nobody's asking for this. And it bombed at the box office, like just totally did not do well. Nobody went to see it. And of course, the star of the show, who is a gay man, came out and said the reason why it bombed was because heterosexual men refused to go because they're homophobic. And listen, I got news for you, man. I could have saved you $45 million and told you straight men aren't going to a gay romantic comedy, not because they're homophobic, just because it doesn't appeal to them. Like, I bet the numbers of Middle America, the box office numbers for Middle America, were maybe triple digits. Maybe it was doing $150, $250 of screening. Maybe people that were lost accidentally bought tickets to the wrong thing. They thought they were going to see Super Mario Brothers, and they wound up in Bros or something. You know, what is this? Because there's no appetite for it. But that's definitely a good idea to call your potential audience a bunch of bigots for it. That's smart. Yeah. Well, maybe I was going to go, but now since you shit all over me, I'm definitely not going to go. And nobody went to this thing. But that's Hollywood for you. You know, Hollywood's got nothing going for them except remakes. You know, they don't have the appetite to do anything. And I saw Matt Damon doing an interview about the state of Hollywood. They were asking him, "Why don't you know when you guys were doing movies when you first started out, there was a wide variety of movies, and now that's gone away. You know, why is that?" And his response was, "Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't physically make and sell DVDs anymore." He said that was like you would do a launch for the movie in the theaters, and then you would have like a secondary launch almost later when the DVD came out. You'd have another revenue stream. But he said now you don't have that because everything goes to streaming, and it's just, it's a different animal. And you take whatever the budget is, say the budget's $25 million, he was using as an example. He said, you know, then the marketing on top of that is always usually a factor of just take what the budget is and for making the movie and then double that for marketing. So he says $25 million to make it, $25 million to promote it. You got to split the proceeds 50-50 with the theaters. And he said, so now you got to make $100 million on this movie just to break even, because you're giving $50 million to the theaters and you're keeping 50. It cost you 50 to make it. So he goes, you're not breaking even until you hit $100 million. So you're not going to see producers taking risks, studios taking risks with money, because they don't know what they're going to get. He was talking about it in with relation to the movie he did with Michael Douglas, where they played Liberace, and that was for HBO. And he's saying, well, HBO runs under a different model, so they could do that. They could take risks with that because they're working on it from a different, you know, they don't have the theatrical release component to it. So it was interesting to hear him talk about the movie industry from the business side. I would also say that, you know, the woke bullshit that Hollywood is putting out has no marketplace in middle America. They're just not interested. Well, beyond middle America, I think a lot more than that are turning their noses up at it. But everything is, you know, these days it's either woke nonsense, which isn't going to make any money, but it's got an agenda behind it, so they can, you know, use it as a tax write-off while virtue signaling and playing their role in this, controlled demolition of society. So you've got woke garbage, and then you've got Marvel movies, superhero movies. That's all you got. Those are your choices. I'm not into that. I'm not into Marvel movies or superhero movies. I've never watched a Marvel movie. It just doesn't appeal to me. I'm not that demographic anymore. And I don't have any interest in it. So the movie experience for me, I'm only going to see movies that like my daughter wants to see. So, so it's a lot of Pixar stuff, which is fine. It's been great, but Hollywood is dead and they have nobody to blame but themselves. But, you know, they're making dumb movies. Like, where's American Pie? You know, where's that? Where's Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Where are these shows? I was talking to Tommy Chong. Where's Up in Smoke? You know, I was talking to him about how they made that movie and what their budget was and what they were allowed to get away with and how they wrote that script and how they filmed it on the fly. It was crazy. You know, just to hear him explain like how different it was. But these days, you know, who's going to the movies? It's been so, the culture's been destroyed. It's been dumbed down. That's what it is. And it's fitting. And it's hard to know what came first, the chicken or the egg. What came first, the dumb people or the dumb movies? You know, did the movies make people dumb, or are they making dumb movies because their audience is losing their IQ points rapidly? But it's more than that too. It's not just the movie making component of Hollywood. Let's not forget about the music business, the music side of Hollywood. I mean, what do we have now? We have the dumbest music I've ever heard. And I know I sound like that old guy who's complaining that the music's too loud. Listen, I've been to a ton of concerts, okay? I love a good concert, love a good show, been to festivals, been to Lollapalooza, been to all that shit. You know, I'm not against the music industry. I just need to have a little bit more than every song going tick, tick, tick. You know, that fucking fake beat that they've got. Oh, it makes me insane. And my wife and daughter always laugh at me whenever I'm in the car and they have that on. They look at me and they go, you hate this, don't you? I go, yes, I hate it. It's play the drums or do something, but you've got the same, and every fucking song has the same little tick, 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 tick. And I just go, this is it. There's no creativity here at all. It's like music for stupid people. That's what they're making. Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, Lil Baby, Da Baby. We don't have any other. Have we run out of names? Oh, what did I see that was so funny? Young Gravy. Dude's name was, his rap name was Young Gravy. I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm done. I'm officially, I'm officially too old for this bullshit. Okay. Take this dumb music and get the fuck out of here with it. All right. Bring back bands that actually know how to play instruments. Bring back people that can sing that aren't all auto-tuned out. Bring back somebody that's not Little Baby or Da Baby or Mr. Baby or whatever. You know, it's just, it's fucking embarrassing, really. Mumble rappers, TikTok stars. I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm on drugs half the time when I'm like going out into the world, and I just, everybody is just, it's just all been poisoned, it seems. God, I fully recognize I sound like the guy, you know, get off my lawn guy out there. But am I wrong? I mean, seriously, am I wrong? Can we not come up with better rap names than Little Baby and Da Baby? Everybody's Little This, Little Yachty, Little Yachty. The first time I heard that, I was like, this has to be a joke. This is the funniest name I've ever heard. But clearly the joke is on me, right? Clearly the joke is on me, because these dudes are rolling around, and yes, they've sold their soul to the devil. We understand that. Lil Nas X is going straight to hell. If there is a hell, he's going straight to hell. But you know, with diamonds on the soles of his shoes, probably, you know, to quote the great Paul Simon, because these guys are making a ton of money. So there's really probably no incentive for them to change it all up. It just seems like music made for the lowest common denominator. You know, how can you argue with that when there is a subculture called mumble rap, where you don't even have to make actual words? You could be high as giraffe balls on Xanax and put out a mumble rap song and have it go to number one, and you make $5 million from it. Now who's the dummy? Me, clearly, for not getting in on that bullshit. Social media, no better. You know, social media, I think, is destroying us internally. I'm on there arguing. I'm on Twitter arguing with robots half the time. You know, it's affecting me. But you've got TikTok with morons doing TikTok challenges, like, I don't know, sticking their nuts in a microwave and turning it on, or whatever the news thing is, eating Tide Pods. We saw that. I mean, I can't make up one any dumber than the actual ones that are happening there. But that's social media, and TikTok is, I think TikTok is really doing, I mean, they're very successful in getting people to watch their videos. You know, while the app steals all the information off of your phone and sends it back to China. But they're very effective at getting you to watch these short little videos. But I also think that part of that is that, given a long enough timeline, you're going to get to a point where you're not even really able to focus and concentrate longer than a minute in real life. You know, where our attention span, thanks to the internet, has certainly gotten a lot shorter. And I think that, you know, we need everything now. And then we needed everything like for Twitter, like condensed into just a few characters, and TikTok, it's got to be like a minute video or whatever. So it's training us to just have a shorter and shorter attention span. I don't think that that's good. I think it first of all, it exposes mental illness on an industrial scale out there, and normalizes it too. I think you're starting to see things on TikTok that you should rightly be appalled by, and we're not anymore. Not at least in a way that we should be. I mean, they're normalizing mental illness. They're normalizing stupidity. They're normalizing groupthink. You know, they're encouraging people. They're really doing a number on your brain. I don't know how much of this is intentional. I would suspect that part of this is an agenda. I would suspect that part of it is a money-making opportunity, and you know, and part of it is we're just going to see what works. You know, we're going to see what the kids like. So everything is, so, you know, you've got such an accelerated life cycle of these companies that they don't get a whole long, you know, you don't get a whole lot of runway to get your company off the ground. I mean, you better hurry up and get it going fast and get people hooked up. And then even then it goes away. I mean, your Facebook is quickly drifting into MySpace territory. I don't know many people that are on Facebook at all. And I know that even though I have an account, I'm very, very rarely on there because who wants to be censored? Who wants to have their you know, be put in Facebook jail for stupid stuff? So, you know, but when you do go on social media, what do you see? You see all kinds of videos. You see all kinds of crazy things. Have you seen the man on the street interview videos? So sort of the Mark Dice style. He's not the only one doing it. There's others where they're interviewing people. They're asking them like relatively easy questions, like, you know, how many dimes are in a dollar? And there are these girls, they're answering, they don't know anything. You know, find here, here's, I've got a big map behind me of Ukraine. Find Ukraine on the map. And people are pointing to like, you know, Brazil. And you're just like, holy, I understand you could take those things out of context and edit them down so that it looks like everybody's stupid. But I think that everybody's kind of stupid. I mean, I think these days everybody's kind of stupid. I mean, we have warning in America, we have warning labels on buckets telling you, be careful. If you fill this bucket halfway up and then you stick your head in it, you could drown. It's like, well, you could. And if you need a warning label for that, then maybe we'll just let some natural selection work itself out. And I understand lawyers are involved and doing all this stuff. But still, it's just there's warning labels on a bucket, but there's not warning labels on McDonald's. There's nutrition labels on McDonald's, which should actually be a warning label. But there's not warning labels on seed oil, right? That people are ingesting and putting that into their bodies. That's more dangerous than a bucket, I would think. There's a greater chance that seed oils will kill me before a bucket does, but there's labels on one and not the other. And you know, look, you know, whether it's these man on the street interviews where they don't know math, they don't know geography, they don't know history or politics. And then they go, name the Kardashian sisters. They're like Khloe, Kourtney, Kim. And you're just like, of course, you know, of course, you know that. Of course, you know something that is completely useless. And look, speaking of the Kardashians, let's acknowledge their role in this whole thing. Are they great at business? Yeah, they've done a great job of leveraging their fame and becoming successful in business because of that. Where did they get their fame from in the first place? Where did they get the fame? Oh, from Kim Kardashian putting out a sex tape. That's how she got famous. And then getting a bunch of plastic surgery and then everyone in her family getting plastic surgery and then the mom pimping them out. America, fuck yeah. I mean, that's just what goes through my head when I see this. Like on the one hand, as an entrepreneur, you have to respect their ingenuity, right? They've made multiple members of their family rich by leveraging television, the insecurities of young girls that look up to them and want to buy their makeup and everything. They've normalized mental illness by showing crazy shit going on in their lives and that's somehow normal. They're photoshopping and airbrushing all their pictures and putting filters on it because what you see isn't even real. You know, it's kind of an encapsulation of America, really, if you think about it. It's like nothing's real. That's not real. I sound like Tim Dillon. We have just in society, when you go out, maybe you want to go to, I don't know, maybe you've been out drinking with your buddies all night and you want to go to Taco Bell 2 o'clock in the morning. You better have your camera out ready to go because you may capture some sort of Taco Bell gladiator wars going on, because it seems like every day I'm seeing a new video of people fighting at fast food restaurants or deciding that the cook isn't moving fast enough. So they're going to get up on the counter and throw the cash register at them, or they're going to start throwing chairs and swinging and not, you know, all this stuff, like animals, straight savages out there operating at the, you know, hitting up fast food restaurants. And of course you guys know my favorite podcast, OBDM, Our Big Dumb Mouth, always has a segment on fast food fights and things like that. And Mike and Joe and Kretchen, they are making a strong push, a case even. This might even be peer-reviewed scientific studies in the future on this theory that they are proposing, that the Chuck E. Cheese restaurants, you know, the pizza restaurants where the animatronic animals dance and they sell you really terrible pizza, there's always fights there. There's always fights in the ball pit. There's always fights going on at Chuck E. Cheese. These guys, the OBDM guys, are convinced that Chuck E. Cheese's are being built on ley lines in order to harness the energy of the planet and focus that into some sort of interdimensional energy field that is causing people to act like savages at these restaurants. Of course, they're joking, but are they? I mean, it's, you know, a case can be made. We definitely are seeing more and more illness out there being sort of portrayed as virtue, you know, as an example. The Extinction Rebellion people, you know, those assholes that glue themselves to the Van Goghs. We've talked about them before. Throw, paint on the pictures, or throw whatever they're throwing, or the dipshits that are opening all the milk jugs and pouring them out all over the ground in the supermarkets because they're fighting against milk, I guess. I don't know. Oh, maybe they're fighting against cows, cow farts, environment. I don't even know. They're not even making a very good case about what they're mad about. So, you know, like activism 101, make sure that when you're doing your little things, that people know what you're mad about and what you want, like what your position is. Cause I'm still a little confused as to why they're dumping out the milk. And, I don't know why they're gluing themselves to Van Gogh's and things like that. I do understand why they're cementing themselves to the freeways. I do understand that because they're mad about pollution, I think. I'm not even really sure. But again, this is like industrial stupidity that's infecting these, but mostly young people too. I think young people are very impressionable. They want to be on the right side of humanity. They don't want they don't want it to be perceived that they're hurting the planet. So they're going to stand up for the planet. I get it. I live on the planet too. And I mean, for now, the first chance I get to get the fuck off this planet, I will. But I currently live here. So while I'm still here, I want what's best for this planet as well. But gluing yourself to a Van Gogh, that's a good way to get like an air horn upside the ear. You know, that's my nonviolent, semi-nonviolent solution to this, is when the people have glued themselves to someplace and they can't get away. Well, then you just go put earplugs in your ears, get yourself a can of the air horns and just put it right up to their ears and just give it to them for good 6 or 7 minutes. And then the rest of their lives will be like a silent movie, which would be really fun for them. But of course, you get what you get when you decide that you're going to glue yourself to things or handcuff yourself to buildings or do all this stuff. You're now immobile. So there's a lot of ways we can go with this. And I am open to all of them, including glue yourself to the museum. Oh, well, we're going to close the museum for the next week. Enjoy being glued there. Enjoy going to the bathroom or not having anything to drink. We'll come get you in a week or so. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions on all of this, but I see that mostly young people. And I think I know where they're getting this. I know where this indoctrination is happening. It's happening at colleges. It's happening at these woke universities. It used to crank out the best and brightest that would go on to do amazing things. Now it's creating NPCs. It's just creating people that have no internal monologue, that aren't thinking about things. They're just drones. They're dumbed down and incapable of connecting dots or having the ability for critical thought, things like the things that we take for granted, or at least we always did. And what's happening these days is that the intelligence level overall of the planet is dropping. I'm going to get to some of these statistics in a minute, but not before I'm not done making fun of these people. So hold your horses there for a second, because I think that it's important for us to recognize, like, this is not going away. Unfortunately, this is like a generational type thing. This is where an entire generation has been dumbed down through a variety of things. We've got fluoride in the water, which we've had for a very long time. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. I know they talk about, well, fluoride, you put it on your toothbrush, it's good for your teeth and everything. No, it's not good for your teeth. It's a derivative of rat poisoning. Alcoa, Aluminum Company of America, Alcoa, when they were making aluminum, the byproduct of making aluminum was fluoride, and they didn't know what to do with it. And they were having all of this, they just were stuck with all this extra fluoride. But they hired Edward Bernays. You remember him, right? And Edward Bernays went out, and one of the they tasked him with making, like, figure out something for us to do with this fluoride. So he started the campaign that said, well, fluoride's actually good for your teeth. And real good for your teeth, in fact. And Alcoa went from not knowing what they were going to do with all this toxic waste that was just piling up from the byproduct of the manufacturing of aluminum process, to now selling that toxic waste to municipalities so that they could add to the water supply. I mean, holy shit. I mean, Edward Bernays pays for himself and then some, you know what I mean? What an investment they made in that lunatic, who was, I think, Sigmund Freud's cousin or something like that. No surprise there. But the idea that we've got fluoride and that's been normalized, and we've been conditioned to think that it's actually good for us, it's a neurotoxin. Put a quote in my octopus book from Dr. Russell Blaylock talking about what it does. It chemically dumbs you down. It reduces your IQ by about 5 points. If you get, obviously it depends on the amount that you consume and the duration in which you consume it, but it'll shave a couple points off of your IQ. We're not giving away those points. We're not interested in doing that. We've got fluoride in the water. We've got chemtrails being sprayed above us. That's a real thing. Barium, aluminum, just all sorts of mystery metals that are being sprayed on us. They have that that's not necessarily going to kill you right off the bat, but it's cumulative, right? It stores up in your body. It builds up. It adds to things. It disrupts the natural circuitry of your body. That has an impact on a lot of things, especially if you're young and a developing mind, and our brains are developing all the way up to age 25 too. So it's important. If you're trying to dumb down society, get them young, get them early, get that in them, get the vaccines in them, right? Vaccines are very dangerous. I'm not even talking about COVID necessarily. I mean, obviously we know about those, but before that, those vaccines are filled with aluminum and toxic metals and all kinds of things that are poisons. Not just me. I'm not just willy-nilly throwing that out. Like, legally, technically poisonous. And yet they're being injected into kids earlier and earlier, more and more. So we're being dumbed down on a societal level by the education, by the information, by the entertainment. We've got all that. But then there's a whole different side, which is the physical, chemical dumbing down of people. Lobotomies, essentially. SSRI drugs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are what are given. That's what all the shooters are on. All the mass shooters, whenever, you want to find the common denominator, besides being revved up into a frenzy by the FBI informant that's talking to them online. But besides that, they're all on SSRIs. And these drugs make you have psychotic breaks. Not every time, not for everyone every time, but for a lot of people they do. And there's plenty of stories talking about the effects of that. We I ask you this. They tried to roll out a program, or they did roll out a program, to convince you to take a vaccine. And the carrot that they used, they dangled out in front of you to get you to take the vaccine, was a free donut every day for the rest of the year. Now I ask you, how dumb do you have to be to take that offer? And yet that was the offer. And do you know why that was the offer? Because they knew from their calculations that there were going to be plenty of dumb people willing to take that offer. They're willing to trade in who knows what getting injected into them that's going to have untold repercussions in the short term and definitely in the long term from this vaccine. They convinced people to take that gamble in exchange for a fucking donut. Like the Simpsons and Homer and his obsessions with donuts kind of came to my head. Like, that's a cartoon meant to be funny. And he's like, he loves donuts. He's addicted to donuts. And you can just see this in the think tanks. And they're going like, well, what are we going to get to incentivize these people? Like, I don't know. They're dumb. You know, Homer Simpson likes donuts. Just tell him, we'll give him donuts. Like, yes, yes, donuts. I like where you're going with that. But if that doesn't work, what's our second choice? Well, lottery tickets. Oh, okay. Stupid people like lottery tickets. Oh yeah, absolutely. Because they can't figure out the math behind it. They can't figure out that it's a bad deal. It's a regressive tax on the stupid, you know? But if that doesn't work, we've got Talladega laps. And if you took the shot in order to take two laps around Talladega, you are clinically dumb. I'm more than content to put that designation on you and feel comfortable in my assessment. Because if you did that, there's no other explanation. You're dumb. So they have to dumb down the message. They have to dumb down the message in order to match it to the people, unfortunately. And look, I take no pleasure in this. I take a little bit of pleasure in it. I do like to mess with these people because I think some of this stupidity is brought on themselves. You know, I think that they could be smarter about this. They choose not to. I think that there's a culture that is glorifying ignorance. And if you fall into that trap where you glorify ignorance, you talk about how I ain't need no schooling or anything like that, then you're going to be labeled as dumb, and I'm not going to have much sympathy for you because of that. I think another component of this is diet. It really is. When we're talking about physically dumbing down people, chemically dumbing them down, the food has something to do with that. High fructose corn syrup is no good for you. It's no good for a developing brain. And of course, early on, what do kids like? Sugar. Kids like, I want this cereal. I want this candy bar, you know? And it used to be that it had natural sugar in it, which was not great for you either, but it was natural sugar. That's been replaced. It's been replaced with this formula of corn syrup, which is high fructose corn syrup. And it is extremely bad for you. It's poison, essentially. And it's in everything here in America. So it just, you know, it reminds me of that, the Animal House, you know, fat, dumb and stupid, or fat, you know, fat, drunk and stupid is no way to go through life, son. You know, it's like, that's where we are in America. Like fat, drunk and stupid, you know, unfortunately. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about the actual science behind some of these, you know, some of this, some of the dumbness that's happening out there. So there's a, I want to give you like sort of an idea of where, you know, we'll talk about IQ scores. Okay. Now, IQ scores are not the end all be all of measuring intelligence. I think that IQ scores are interesting for measuring how you react to standardized testing, you know, some sort of logic components, but it doesn't measure desire. It doesn't measure your heart. It doesn't measure your musical abilities. It doesn't measure a lot of things. It can only measure a few things. And because of that, they give you a score, right? The Stanford-Binet intelligence scale of 2003 is the one we'll go off of here. And what it does is it gives you a number score. 100 is average, right? So that's the mean, meaning average. So if a score of 100 is average, it means that that's where most people are. Most people are in between, so 90 to 109 is technically, is considered to be average. Anything below 80 to 89 is low average. 110 to 119 is high average. But these are all sort of averages if you're in there. You get down into, you know, the 50s and 60s, then they classify you as mildly impaired. 70 to 79 is borderline impaired. 40 to 55 is moderately impaired. I mean, you're in a category where you're technically mentally retarded. You know, you're not, I don't mean that in like a jerky kind of way, but I mean, that's where you are. That's you're retarded. And if you want to be of high IQ, you know, that's 120 and up. 120 to 129 is superior. 130 to 144 is very advanced. 145 to 160 is highly advanced. Now, minimum for Mensa is 132. That puts you at the 98th percentile. Global intelligence rate. So this is what I wanted to talk about, because there's a study done by the U.S. Census Bureau International, their database back in 2003, using this same Stanford-Binet intelligence scale, said, you know, we're looking at IQ rates from 1950, 1975, 2000, 2025, and 2050. So we're just going to get, we're going in 25-year blocks of this. And they measured it over 185 different countries. And I fully recognize that some people say, well, those tests are culturally biased. Kind of. Yeah, some of them are, some of them aren't. I mean, some of it has to do with logic, but and some of it has to do with math. And if you're in a country where you don't have running water and you don't have access to consistent education, your math skills will be bad. You'll score lower on the test, all that stuff. But I want to read off some numbers and just to give you an idea. When I say that, you know, that's the dumbing down, you know, smartphones for dumb people, you know, this isn't just me being silly about it. It's measurable. And the U.S. Census Bureau measured it and they showed we're going down, and we might not be able to turn this thing around. So let's talk about where they first started was 1950. So let's go back to 1950. So we're just out of World War II, right? America is now taking off in a leadership role around the world. Education is a big thing. We've got schools operating everywhere. People, we're not in a war. People are getting back to school. We start to get in there and get ourselves ready for a real push, a transformative push, where we're going not just from high school, but now we're actually going into colleges as well. There's colleges obviously existed before that, but now it's a real push. Now it's like, okay, it's starting to get to this point where if you want to make something with your lives, you're going to need to go to college. This is where it's first starting in 1950. So they looked globally. And at that time in 1950, there were 2.5 billion people on the planet, right? The average IQ, the mean IQ in the world was 91.64. Okay. According to this, to the scale, 100 is like average. But this is saying that, well, we're taking a look at the whole world, 185 countries, and we're right at 91.64 as the IQ. Okay. 25 years later, we're now at a little over 4 billion people. That IQ starts to slip a little bit, starts to go down. Now it's 90.80. Okay. So from 91.64 to 90.80. So we're down almost a full point, but it gets worse. And this is where we're going. Now jump to the year 2000, millennium, right? We're now at hovering a little bit over 6 billion people. Where's that? It's now gone from 90.80 dropping down to 89.20. So we're losing. Now we've lost a point and a half in the next 25 years. That was the year 2000. We're down to 89.20. Now they're projecting where we'll be in 3 years, 2025, when we're at 8 billion people. the projections have us going from 89.20 IQ down to 87.81. So again, now we're dropping another point and a half. And by the way, that's a big difference. You know, every IQ point matters. And to have this large of a drop is concerning. They've extrapolated out. They've taken a look at where 2050 will be. And they say that we'll be at about 9 billion people. Well, not if Klaus Schwab and Henry Kissinger have their say in things, but that's where they say. So we will have gone from, in the year 2025, hovering around 87.81. Now we're dropping down to 86.32. So again, another point and a half drop in IQ. This is alarming because now we are in the low average point. We have gone from average that we've dropped now an entire category into low average. We're just barely above the classification described as borderline impaired, which means you're kind of half fucked up. We're just a little bit above half fucked up, or that's where we'll be in 2050. So why? Why is this? Well, could be a lot of things. Could be massive development in the third world, which is driving these scores down. A disproportionate number of people with lower IQs are then pulling the entire average down, which is possible. Could be that smart people, I mean, if you saw Idiocracy, it wasn't meant to be a documentary, but apparently it is. Right when it started off in the movie, there's like the white trash couple that's having like kids after kids after kids, and then there's the yuppie couple that are like, well, we're gonna wait until we do a little bit better, we're gonna wait until we, you know, I get this thing, and they just keep waiting, and they never have kids, right? So like the smarter people were waiting and never have kids, and then like the mullet family was out there, they had like 12 kids, you know. So, and of course we know what Henry Kissinger would think about all that. So it just kind of showed that like sometimes like people of higher IQ have a much lower birth rate. And I know this starts to get you into, that eugenics category where people start talking about IQs and birth rates and things like that. And it gets into a dangerous thing, but I want to read this. This is from the World Population Review. And it was talking about the top 10 countries with the highest average IQs. And, I'm going to read them off, and then, I don't know. You tell me what you think. So remember, 100 is the average, right? And we'll start with number one. Number one is Japan. I don't think there's much of a surprise. We always seem to hold Japan out as being a very intelligent country, society. We tend to make assumptions that Japanese people are good at math or engineering or school or all those things. And maybe there's some truth to that, because they show up at number one on this list at 106.49. Second on this list is Taiwan, just a little bit below, 106.47. Okay. Third on the list is Singapore, 105.89. Fourth is Hong Kong, 105.36. Fifth is China, 104.10. Sixth is South Korea, 102.35. Are you noticing a pattern here? Is there anything that's jumping out at you? Anything at all? Anything at all about Japan, Taiwan, Singapore, Hong Kong, China, and South Korea? Yeah. My white brothers and sisters finally get on the scoreboard in seventh place in Belarus at 101.60, then followed by Finland. After that, Liechtenstein, which I think has about 75 people living there. And tied for 10th is the Netherlands and Germany at 100.74. The United States is number 29 on the list. So, you know, we're slipping. I don't know where we were. I don't know what our score was 30 years ago, but we're number 29 now. You know, I think we were relatively high, at least education-wise, we were super high, but those days are gone. Do you know who is beating us? Do you want to know a country that is beating us? We are number 29 at 97.43, according to this. We are getting beat by North Korea at 98.82. North Koreans are eating, not to be shitty, but they're literally eating crickets if they're lucky enough to find them. And they are scoring a full point and a half higher than us in terms of IQ. That's embarrassing. Last on the list is in 199th place is Nepal at 42.99. Now, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of Nepal's education system, nutrition system, or anything like that, but I have, I hope they get it together. But so the group doing the study on this has kind of, I mean, I don't know. It's like I said, it kind of gives me a eugenics vibe. You know, when you start talking about IQ, when you start talking about average IQ, you're like one step away from measuring skulls. You know what I mean? Like the Aryans were doing. So it just seems like, you know, IQ scores are not the end all be all. It's not, I don't think it's the most accurate way to measure somebody's intelligence. It doesn't measure emotional intelligence, social intelligence, you know, street smarts, your desire, things like that. It's really hard to quantify those things. So these tests don't do a very good job of that. And yes, some of them are culturally biased, but one of the things that came out of this, and you can make of this what you want, but Africa and Central American countries are most of the bottom 25%, you know? So maybe that's part of the reason why we've got a migrant caravan heading from Central America up to America. Right, they're looking for better opportunities, places where they can succeed, because where they're living in countries that have IQs that are hovering around, you know, like an average score of 60, which is mentally retarded. So maybe people that are ambitious are looking for an escape and looking to get somewhere else. So, but again, factors that play into this: nutrition, schooling, the fact that there's a wherever the country of origin, you know, lack of disease there, or maybe the presence of disease causes people to have to prioritize. I'm not really so concerned about learning algebra. Well, I'm just trying to find myself some clean drinking water. All these things have to be taken into consideration for sure. There's a, you know, a lack of pollutants. Like if you live in a place that has heavy concentrations of lead, that impacts your IQ. If you're drinking a lot of water with fluoride in it, that impacts your IQ. There's socioeconomic factors as well as things like that. So let's not pretend that it's a level playing field here for everybody, even inside the countries that I'm talking about, even inside America. Not everybody is the same there. Not everybody has the same opportunities. But that, I thought that was interesting to sort of show just in relation to where, because in America, we think we're the best. You know, we just assume we're number one at everything, but I got news for you. We're number 29. So you don't get a medal for that. In fact, you need to go back to the drawing board. You need to abolish the Department of Education, because we were number one in education before the Department of Education was created. And then once they, developed that piece of garbage, then our scores started to drop and everything went to shit. So speaking of that, let's talk about in America, some of the schools, because we're talking about eighth grade reading, using that as the metric for measuring things. So the 10 highest ranking states in terms of eighth grade reading proficiency: number one, Massachusetts; number two, New Jersey; number three, Connecticut; number four, Vermont; number five, New Hampshire. You know what's interesting about this? These are all northeast of geographically, all northeast. These are also the geographically northeast places that were all the highest vaccination rates too. And during that episode I did called "Where Did All the People Go?" where we brought out the stats and showing which states were the most heavily vaccinated. They line up perfectly with this. So my guess is that next generation, probably these won't be the highest ranking for eighth grade reading. You know, if there's even people still around after that. Number six on the list in terms of the highest ranking eighth grade reading: number six, Utah; number seven, Wisconsin; number eight, Colorado; number nine, Ohio; and number 10, Idaho. So if I'm going to tell you what the 10 highest ones are, I bet you want to know what the 10 lowest ones are. Well, let's start with number 41, Oklahoma, is on the low end, real low. 42, Hawaii. 43, Nevada. I know, I live there. They can read. They know what cards look like. You know, they can count cards, but they can't count to 100. I would say number 44, Louisiana, 45, Mississippi, 46, Texas, 47, West Virginia, 48, Alabama, 49, Alaska, and last on the list is New Mexico. New Mexico is a disaster when it comes to education. And it breaks out like this. So if you're curious, like, so what do we get for our money? Like, we get all this. How much money are we spending? Well, we are spending a grand total of $762 billion a year so that we can be 29th on the list of IQ and have massive problems with our government school. The United States spends on average $14,891. Let's just round up and say 15 grand per student per year. Do you feel like you're getting your money's worth at your government school education? You getting $15,000 a year worth? I don't know. Best high school graduation rates in the country. Topping the list, it's a tie at 91%, New Jersey and Iowa. And at 90%, it's also a tie for Wisconsin, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, and West Virginia. Those have the highest high school graduation rates. Of course, you want to know what the lowest ones are. The lowest, at 79%, the second lowest group is Oregon, Arizona, and Alaska. Only 79% of the high school students actually graduate. And last on the list at 74% is again New Mexico. New Mexico, they don't even bother. They're just like, figure it out on your own. Here's coloring books. Learn to read or don't. We don't give a shit. But we'll wrap up with this one because I think this is a school that has been in the news over the last couple of years. The whole region of Baltimore has been, but this one particular school, they had such a massive problem that it was so insane, the numbers that were coming out of this school, that it made like national headlines, might have even made international headlines. I mean, I'm sure the rest of the world was just laughing at us for this, but there is a school in Baltimore called Augusta Fells Savage Institute of Visual Arts. Put that on a t-shirt, right? And there was a problem because what they were doing is they were talking to a family who had had a 17-year-old who had gone to this school for 4 years, gone 4 years through this high school in Baltimore. And in 4 years, this kid had passed three classes in 4 years. In case you're not good at math, that's less than a class a year. Okay. His GPA, grade point average, was, you know, a 4.0 means that you've got it straight A's. You've got, you know, 4 points, it's all A's. A 3.0 is all B's. 2.0 is C's. A 1.0 is D's. This kid's GPA was a 0.13 was his GPA. Now, I know that sounds crazy. And I know that sounds like this kid has got to be the dumbest kid in school, right? To get a 0.13 GPA. We're in Mr. Blutowski range, right? The 0.0. You know, we're very close to that. He has, to his credit, because he did pass three classes, a 0.13 GPA. But that's not the craziest part of the whole thing. This kid was in a class of 120 students, and he was ranked 62 out of 120 kids. So that means that 58 other students had a lower GPA than 0.13. I mean, it is an epidemic. In this school, only two students in the entire school, only two students in the school were proficient in math and English. Two. The school principal of this school, you would think, oh, well, this guy's got to get fired. No, he not only is he not fired. You know how much money he makes? $150,948 a year for this horseshit. We got a problem. We've got a big problem here. We've got a culture that props up and puts on a pedestal dumb people, as that's aspirational for young kids to look up to, mumble rappers. We have a food industry that is slowly poisoning people to death, but definitely reducing their IQ in the process. We have a pharmaceutical industry that's injecting kids with all of us, really, with God knows what. It's impacting us all. It's destroying our ability to think. And again, the Dr. Russell Blaylock quote, I had him in the first book. He's talking about, you know, that there's a pool of people that are just so, they're chemically dumbed down. They're just, he said, he just described them as down on the reservation and dumbed down and unable to think clearly. And they become dependent on the government and the state for everything, because they can't excel and they can't succeed in life. And now the government actually wants that, because if the people are dependent on the government, then the government stays relevant, keeps its position in society. But he then went on to say, but then there's a small percentage of people with high IQ that can see above this entire scam. They can see all of this that's going on, and it makes perfect sense to them. But everybody else is just sort of stuck down there in this malaise where they can't ever achieve anything, and they can't succeed, and they can't excel, and they can't ever go on to greatness, because they just don't have the mental horsepower to get themselves there. And that's where we are. So some of it is our own doing. Some of it is being done to us. Some of it is cultural. I try to find the humor in it, but the truth of the matter is this isn't really funny, because we're going to need these people in the future. We're going to need smart people to become engineers and build the next great technologies, or build the bridges that we're going to need to rebuild after Joe Biden destroys everything and we have to build it back better. Do you want some kid who's spent his entire educational life learning Common Core saying, yeah, 3 times 4 equals 11. I showed my work. I got it right. You know, I'm building this bridge. No, thank you. Not interested in that. I want smart people doing that. And though I joke about this and goof on the dummies and rightly so, I think these people should be mocked. I think these people should be ridiculed for being stupid. I think they should be shamed into getting their act together. But the truth is that this is a really dangerous time for us, because we're losing the intellectual horsepower battle. Things are not going the right direction, and I hope that we're able to turn it around and in a hurry. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. It would mean a lot to me if you would go subscribe to the show and also rate the show if you think I've done a good job. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.